Welcome to Sleep Cues, the Everything Baby Sleep podcast. I'm Erin, pediatric sleep consultant and founder of The Happy Sleep Company. From cat naps to night wakes and regressions to teething, we cover all things baby sleep. With a passion for children's sleep, we're here to help tired families get healthy rest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. We are still in the early days of the new year, and I wanted to spend today on the podcast talking about ways to prioritize your family's sleep this year. As a mom, I know this can be hard. As a mom who has been through that stage of infancy and toddlerhood, and even those early years of school, when you're just trying to wrap your head around how we possibly prioritize sleep on top of our busy work schedules, on top of extracurricular activities, fitting in mommy baby classes or weekend gymnastics when there needs to be a nap happening. This is all of the stuff that often runs through our minds when we're trying to figure out how to make it all happen and make it all work and do all the things. So let's walk today through some ways that we can prioritize sleep, but still do the fun stuff, still live our lives, and still eat a proper meal every once in a while, or how about every day? So here are five ways to prioritize your family's sleep this year, some of them more specific to babies, some of them more specific to school age, but ways that we can prioritize our family's sleep and ensure that we're all getting healthy rest and living our lives. First thing we want to do is plan ahead. You've probably heard this 1,000 times, but that is because it's worth repeating. Planning ahead for school days, work days, meals. It's the best way to ensure you can maximize both time with your family and time for proper sleep. I recommend to my clients that they sit down and make their partner sit down too, one evening each week. For lots of families, Friday or Saturday evening might work best because we have little ones and, you know, we can often take our Friday or Saturday evening when we're no longer going out for dinners or meeting up with friends, but just getting our kiddos to bed and relaxing on a Friday or Saturday evening. And we can prepare a list of meals for the following week. The next day, head to the store or do your curbside pickup if you're me and buy all the groceries needed, and voila, done. Now, rather than spending extra time stopping at the grocery store every night the following week and racking your brain while standing, you know, in the frozen food aisle about what to have for dinner that night, your plan is already in place, and this can take so much stress off of your week, whether it is because now you're not rushing home trying to get baby to bed even later. You're not worried about, okay, how am I going to fit in the stop at the grocery store plus making the meal plus getting my baby to bed at his early bedtime or my toddler to bed at his early bedtime after his big day at daycare. We've taken that element out. It's already done. We don't have to stop at the grocery store every single day or spend time every day worrying about what we're going to eat that night. I know this is a huge stressor for many parents. For some, they might be saying, why is this even something we're worried about? This isn't a problem in my family. But for many of us, what we're going to have for dinner that night, what we're going to feed our kiddos, how we're going to get them to bed on time and fit all of this other stuff in is a big stressor that can be relieved by planning ahead. And this leaves time for everything and anything but meal planning, because most people really don't enjoy meal planning. So why do it every single day individually? It means more time at home with your family before your little ones get off to bed for their proper sleep. You can also save time in the mornings and increase family time by planning ahead, having their kiddos pick out their clothes for the next day, packing school lunches if you're at that age, packing those together as a family, getting breakfast foods ready to go. All of these things are things that can really help in the evenings to feel less stressed about bedtime. I know that many of our clients or those who reach out to us in other ways, like through my DM box on Instagram, are very often asking, how do I fit in all of the stuff we need to do, but also get my baby to bed early? I hear you talking about early bedtimes. If my baby has had only short naps that day, or if my toddler had a really big day at daycare and is just exhausted and needs to go to bed at 6:30 p.m. tonight because he just can't handle anything later than that. But how do we fit it all in? This is one of the best ways to do it. And it can seem like a big hurdle, but once you get in the routine of planning these kinds of things ahead, it becomes easy and it can become very helpful to your evenings and your bedtimes. The next thing I always suggest to my families is that whenever possible, they book extracurricular activities for the weekends. Many of my clients ask me when the best time of day is to book activities like kinder music and play dates for infants and for toddlers, gymnastics and swimming lessons for younger children or older children. For babies and toddlers, I recommend booking these classes around nap times whenever you can. So if your child still takes a morning and an afternoon nap each day, book classes for midday around like 11:30, 12 o'clock. If your child is having just one nap a day, book classes in the morning around 9 a.m. when your little one is at their freshest and it won't interfere with nap time. Because at that point, nap time is probably happening around noon. So it's great if we can get a 9 a.m. activity happening. Let's face it, we've all been up for hours already by 9 a.m. when we have a toddler. So it's not usually too much of a struggle to get somewhere by 9 a.m. because we've been up for a while already. So we do the 9 a.m. gymnastics class, and then we get home with lots of time to still play a little, have lunch, and get down for our nice noon nap. If one parent is still at home, you could even book these activities during the weekdays. For older school-age children, I recommend that activities, whenever possible, though, be planned for weekends. So often I see small children who still need a considerably early bedtime having hockey practice, soccer games, swim classes well into the evening, when I would love to see them at home having a bath and hopping into bed to get a full night's sleep. So planning gymnastics lessons for Saturday mornings or skating lessons for Sunday afternoon rather than 7 p.m. on a weeknight can really help to prioritize your child's bedtime, especially during the week when your child needs lots of proper rest to be prepared for a big day at daycare or school the next day. This one is for the older kiddos, and it's about managing homework. This really depends on your school. I have seen children get homework as young as sort of grade one, maybe even kindergarten, usually not. Usually we're looking at grade one though. And then sometimes schools aren't offering homework at all or not until later, closer to grade 3, 4, 5. Battles over homework can lead to a lot of family conflict and frustrated, exhausting evenings. And homework stalling can lead to late bedtimes and sleeplessness for the whole family. Let your child wind down for a short period after school, absolutely. But do try to get the work completed earlier rather than later, when your child is more likely to be tired and more easily frustrated. Ensure there's no social media, no texting, no television available during homework time, so your child can concentrate on the task at hand. And be available. Don't do your child's work for them, but be there to help guide and give positive feedback and encourage them. Again, try to make it before dinner time, because we know that after dinner, we're really wanting to spend time together as a family and then head off for a good solid bedtime and a good solid night of sleep. We want to make the most of awake time. That's a big one, particularly for working parents whose children attend daycare or parents of school-age children. It's often the case that we only see our kiddos for an hour or so in the morning and a couple of hours each evening before bedtime rolls around. My advice is to ensure you're making the most of this time. That probably sounds like it should go without saying. And of course, we as parents are trying to make the most of this time, but sometimes we forget what that means or just get so caught up in all of the stuff that has to be done, we just can't. So let's try to figure out, what does this mean? What could this look like? Put the phone down. This is no judgment. I am an adult. I am a parent. I am a working parent. And I know how difficult it can be to put the phone down. So often during this limited weekday time that we have together, our little ones are craving attention and time with us. And we are inevitably, me too, distracted by the ring of a phone or the ding of a text. So much so that we often don't even realize it. As much as possible, make a conscious effort to put your phone out of reach when your child arrives home from school and you arrive home from work, and concentrate on time together. Play a game. Draw. Go outside.
have a snack together, and ask your child, what was your favorite part of school today? You will quickly become amazed at how much more open your child becomes and how much you learn about what is going on in their school life when you feel you are taking an active interest in their day, when they feel you're taking an active interest in their day. Further, especially for toddlers and younger school-age children, those who have felt well listened to and focused on during those hours after school, after daycare, are more likely to have easier and more peaceful bedtimes. Children whose love buckets haven't been filled up quite enough during the day are likely to protest more at bedtime or seek this attention during the night. Again, mamas, dads, this is not judgment. This is coming from a mama who's been there, both with my own child and with many, many, many other families who are struggling, especially once their child reaches toddlerhood. Both parents are back at work, and it can be really hard to prioritize this stuff and really easy to just get lost in the fog of after school television because we still have work emails to answer and just making it really difficult to prioritize all this stuff. But if we can recognize what's going on, and if we can find ways to prioritize time with our little ones in that limited time that we have with them after school, it can be really helpful to reducing bedtime protest, overnight wake-ups, because our child still gets to bed at a good time, so they're not overtired when they go to bed, but they also get to bed at a good time having been well-loved and listened to by us because we prioritize that limited time we had with them. Remember, too, that if your toddler is still quite little, if you have a toddler, a preschooler, a kindergartner, they need a pretty early bedtime. So just remember that we can focus on that work stuff after our little ones go to bed if they still have quite an early bedtime, and just prioritize that limited time we have after daycare or after dinner. And finally, make bedtime family time. So this is kind of in keeping with the idea of making the most of awake time, but I really encourage my clients and the parents that we talk to think of their child's bedtime as a fun extension of awake time together, rather than considering it a chore. Often bedtime can feel like a chore to us and to our children. It is a number of steps that we have to get to the end goal of getting your child to bed. But if we think about it more as this fun extension of awake time together, it doesn't feel like so much of a chore. It also doesn't make our evenings feel so rushed because we're not thinking, oh, I don't have any time with my child because I just have to get them into the bath now and get them to bed. Well, let's think about that 30 to 45 minutes of bedtime routine as another 30 to 45 minutes of enjoyable time that we have together, that we can talk to each other, that we can learn more about our child's day, ask them questions, and not just think about it as a chore. Give your child a bath each night and play and chat about the day while your kiddo is splashing around in the tub, rather than answering emails on the other side of the bathroom while your child is having their bath alone. For younger children, help them learn about choices and independence by offering choices like which pajamas to wear, which toothpaste to use, which books to read. And yes, read together each night. This is huge. It is such a lovely time to sit together, cuddle together, talk about the lessons being learned in the books and stories that you're reading. It's a really pleasantly surprising time to just see how significantly that time spent together at bedtime every night can bring a family back together each day and make our evenings feel more cohesive, less rushed, and like we have more time together. I hope that's helpful. As I said, I wanted to devote this episode to this because it's early in the year. Many of us are trying to figure out how we could maybe make bedtime look a little different this year, or get some more rest for our families, or prioritize our evenings a little differently because they can be so stressful. And I hope that these tips can help you prioritize your family's sleep for this year, because sleep is so important, but we have to really prioritize that family time too. And there is a way to balance it all. It just takes some time to figure out what's right for your individual family. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sleep Cues, the Everything Baby Sleep podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with a mom or dad who might need some rest. Connect with us on Instagram at The Happy Sleep Company, and check out our website, thehappysleepcompany.com, for loads of blogs, sleep guides, and information about how we work with families one-on-one to get sleep on track.